This is the St. Louis Podcast Network. Welcome to the CNC Golf Factory Podcast on the St. Louis Podcast Network with Kurt Rowe and Kurt Goss III. Kurt Rowe is the executive director of the Metropolitan Amateur Golf Association, whose expertise and passion for the sport have helped shape the local golfing landscape in remarkable ways. Kurt Goss III is the head PGA professional at the prestigious Country Club of St. Albans and the 2023 Gateway PGA Merchandiser of the Year, a testament to his dedication and excellence in the industry. Together, as hosts and enthusiasts, we're here to bring you the latest news, expert analysis, and insider stories from the vibrant world of St. Louis golf. Settle in and get ready to be inspired by the wealth of knowledge and camaraderie that defines our local golfing community. Welcome to the CNC Golf Factory Podcast, where every swing tells a story. Hey, welcome on in. It's the CNC Golf Factory Podcast right here on the St. Louis Podcast Network. I'm Andy Hanselman alongside Kurt Goss III and Kurt Rowe for more St. Louis local golf coverage that you know and love. Follow us on Instagram at Twitter and Twitter at, X, as they call it now, CC_golf_factory, C+C Golf Factory on Facebook. Like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Great show lined up for you tonight. Going to talk to two fantastic kids who did very, very well at the drive, chip, and putt. Caden Fair finished fourth overall in the boys' 14 to 15 division at drive, chip, and putt at the Augusta National Golf Club earlier this month. And Madison Pyatt, she actually won the girls' 7 to 9 division at drive, chip, and putt at Augusta National Golf Club. So you will hear from them coming up in segment two. Boys, how you been? How you doing? Looking good. Glad to be back for another fine episode of this fine podcast.
Yeah, thank you for being here tonight, guys. It's golf season. We are entering into May, and just got done with, what, 3-4 days of rain on and off in the greater St. Louis area. And then today I'm out teaching a couple lessons, and you can tell it's starting to get a little warm and muggy. So golf season is upon us in St. Louis, and a lot of fun things. I know Rowe just wrapped up U.S. Open local qualifying over at Westwood in some probably wet conditions, probably made the golf course probably another 400 yards longer, I would have to imagine. But, yeah, we're all rocking and rolling and excited to kind of, you know, continue to dive into season two, or if we were on television, season seven.
Right, season seven, like it's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives that has now like 52 seasons of
in the last 12 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. You know, it's May's here, and tomorrow, and – yeah, the golf season's upon us. You know, as Kurt mentioned, we kicked off yesterday. We're going to get into a little more of that. But, you know, it's here we go. We've been waiting 3-4 months for it to get here. All the preparation, you know, from my end, and well, same, I guess, Kurt's end. You know, we prepare all winter to get ready for the, you know, the busy part of the season. And now we're off and running. You know, I've got interns starting this week, a couple more a little later in the month. It's just been busy around the empire of the Golf Association headquarters here in Maryland Heights, and we're rocking and rolling, and in 5 months we'll say, where'd that go?
I was hoping that one of you would say today, since it is April 30th, that it's gonna be May.
Well, I was just figuring by the time that we actually release this, it'll probably be like May 3rd.
Hey, now. Wow. That's kind of a dig.
No, I'm just saying we're busy and you got to edit things. So we know it's not going out tonight.
True. And there's a lot of editing that needs to happen There's a little lot of rust to be shaken off on the old broadcast.
So. It might be May 4th.
May the fourth be with you. Derby Day.
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo is coming up too. I got a Callaway fitting day on Cinco de Mayo. Everybody that buys a set of Callaway clubs valued at $1,500 or more at St. Albans gets a free margarita on Kurt Goss.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a little shot of Coda Go for out there at St. Albans.
Oh, I think Travis has got a little Coda Go for us. We'll give him a little shout out. He's actually left some small bottles, airplane bottles, and you know, I don't have any use for them. So maybe next time you're out, we'll slide a couple in your bag for you. Thanks to Travis and the Coda Go team.
Yeah, well, I experienced that last year in the Butler Classic because that's who I played with him. So that was, 2 days. So
he's a good guy to know if you enjoy tequila.
That's right.
Fantastic stuff. So, Roey, I think it seems like it's kind of early, but we've already had our U.S. Open qualifier. You took place yesterday at Westwood Country Club.
Yeah, it is a little earlier than normal. But, you know, the window is pretty big that we have to get this in. And, you know, May is just so crazy. Last year we jammed it in and it was really too much. And as I mentioned before, you know, I've got interns just starting. So it's just a lot. So, we could do it on the 29th and Westwood was gung-ho for it. And, so yeah, we had the U.S. Open local qualifying yesterday at Westwood Country Club, 117 golfers for 6 spots. And as mentioned, local qualifying. So in U.S. Open's 2 stages. So those 6 golfers will move on to a final stage on June, whatever that first Monday in June is. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but you know, most of them will play on that Monday in June. That's
the third.
The third, June 3rd. That's kind of actually known as the longest day in golf because all the final stages happen, you know, around the country. So. But it ended up being a fantastic day at Westwood. And guys, if you've had the opportunity to play Westwood, I haven't played it much, but I've done a lot of qualifiers there, and we've done championships. And I actually played it a week ago Monday in the superintendent's outing, and I had never seen Westwood in as good a shape. It was flawless, and I can't say that a lot about, you know, courses. But I'm telling you, it was as good as I've ever seen it. And it was really good yesterday. The unfortunate part was we had 1.75 inches of rain overnight, Sunday night, leading into yesterday. So it did cause, you know, make it a wet golf course. But it was still really good. And it's a shame it wasn't like it was a week earlier. But, you know, my hat's off to Westwood. I've said it on here, you know, countless times over the past, well, the 1 year, but you know, Westwood really shone on Monday. It was you know, great golf course, great support. We'll get to that a little bit. Members came out to watch, to volunteer. We had several members out helping us keep, you know, take scores like we do, to so we keep everybody informed on the website and on the apps and stuff. So we had several members there. But anyway, just a huge kudos to Westwood. And then, like I said, we had a bunch of them come out because they had Westwood out of our 6 qualifiers. One of the assistant pros, Devin Liberty, was one of the tri-medalists, I should say, at 467. And he had a following. I have to say, I don't think I've ever seen a gallery like that in a U.S. Open qualifier. But he had, gosh, he had 25 or 30 members out following him for most of his round, especially the back 9. So that was really cool to see, and to see, you know, to have a one of their own, you know, make it through was really neat. The other qualifiers, some names familiar. Joel Sylvan was one of the other medalists. Joel is a golfer from Sweden, but played at University of Missouri St. Louis. Really good player. He's turned pro now. He also shot 67. And then the one amateur who got through, Gunnar Broin. Gunnar's a golfer from the University of Kansas at 67. And then we had Will Postlewaite. Will is a pro now, but he's from England, but played his golf at McKendree College. Peter Nade, I'm not sure where Peter's from, but they both shot 68. And then we had 9 golfers at 69. So we had a 9-for-1 playoff to decide the final spot. after a long day. We had to go back out for the playoff, and Chris Nagel gets it done again, guys. He gets the one spot, the 9-for-1, and Chris Nagel gets through local qualifying to give another shot to get back to the U.S. Open, which, as you guys know, and many of our listeners know, Chris has played in two in recent years, most notably making the cut at the Country Club 2 years ago. But he gets the final spot on the third playoff hole over Will Hocker, Will's also a pro now, but was a golfer from Webster University. There you go. Shout out, Kirk Gulls.
Yeah. Webster alum, and Will was a Division III national champ a few years ago, and I think he worked some in the past with our director of instruction, Ryan Martin. And so, as I was following live scoring with Golf Genius and your site, Kurt, that was a tough one when I saw the nine names. And I'm like, well, there's two names that I'm rooting for. It's Nagel and Hocker, because again, buddies with Chris, and I've met Will once or twice, but obviously fellow alum. And then I saw it came down to those two, and it's like, well, we can't go wrong from my standpoint, but, it's exciting to see Chris get back there. Cause again, the past handful of years, just become friends with Chris. We've had him on the show. Just Chris is that, 40, 41 year old typical journeyman that, he has so much game, and all these guys obviously do if they're going to shoot 2, 3, 4 under on a great golf course in tough, wet conditions to make it to the next, qualifying spot or the final qualifying spot. But, it just shows you though, how tough the game is or how many talented people. Cause again, I've played with Chris a few times and it's a different game they play.
Yep.
And the poor guy's looking for work almost every other week, because again, it's hard to keep cards. So it was fun to see some of those names on that list. So thanks for sharing the backstory on a few of those guys, where they're from. So thank you.
Yeah. It was cool. So Chris and Will both made birdie. We started on 10. They both made birdie on 10. So they advanced, went on to, then we went to 16 and we're going 16, 17, 18 then. So they went on to play for that final spot, the first alternate. So Will gets first alternate shot. So, we'll keep our fingers crossed. A lot of times those first alternates in local, find their way into the final stage somewhere. So, maybe that same will happen for Will, and he'll get into a final, the final qualifying. And then our second alternate was a young man, Trevor Merle. Trevor, he's an amateur, actually plays at University of Missouri. We had two Missouri Tigers in that playoff as well. The other was a young man, and I'm going to totally butcher his name, but he goes by Dabby Signor Branson, from Denmark, I think is his country. But Trevor gets the second alternate spot on the second playoff hole. We had five guys make par. They go on to the 16, and he makes birdie at 16. So, which is it's a really good par three out there. So, but anyway, great day. U.S. Open qualifying is always, it's a fun way to kick off the season. And, again, kudos to Westwood. They were, they really shined through, and the support was really, really neat. So many
good to hear.
Thanks to them. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Saw a few pictures from course. Looked like the course was in really, really good shape already.
Oh, it was, I'm telling you, and I have a volunteer who's been volunteering for us for years. Who's a Westwood member. And he, a week and a half ago, we had our rules, kind of our preseason admin meeting. And he's like, Kurt, I've been there 40 years and I've never seen it this good. He goes, it's as good as I've ever seen it in 40 years. And, so I'll give a little shout out to Corey Witzman. Corey's the superintendent out there. Corey and I go way back. He came down here from Iowa State and interned at Boone Valley when I worked there. And then him and I actually lived together for a year when I was at St. Louis U, and he was an assistant at Algonquin. So, we've got a little history, working together, living together as roommates while I was in school. But, he has got it dialed in. I can tell you that. So, but just kudos to everybody. Andy Cullinane, the GM, Daryl Hardig, the staff all played. Daryl played yesterday as well, and so did Brandon Coffey, the other assistant over there. So Daryl was really, really excited to see have his guy get through there, get Devin through there. I don't know Devin real well. Just know that he's pretty new to you know, new to Westwood. But so that was really cool to see him get through, and the club's real excited, and all in all, just a good day. And another qualifier, you know, I don't know if I've ever said it on here, but it's one of my favorite things I get to do. To you know, the guys kind of look at you when you give them their certificate and you ask them if they accept it, which is kind of what we're supposed to do, and they look at you like you're crazy. But you know, it's a good feeling to hand these guys you know, that certificate that they get to move on and, you know, going after their dream to play in the U.S. Open. So
it'd be an incredible experience. So I'm glad that you're able to be a part of those people's golf lives and get help and get that done. So
yeah,
awesome! Congratulations on another well-run U.S. Open qualifier. One of the ongoing storylines from season one, if you will, that Kurt Goss said he was going to play in more Gateway Section events and try and do things. And he's been doing that. He's played in two this year, and he played in one yesterday.
Yeah, I did. Over at Forest Hills, it was a pro, myself and my fellow PGA professional, and one of my bosses, my GM, Andy Crow from the Country Club of St. Albans. It's funny, Andy's been my GM, I think, since February of 2020, about a month before our world changed drastically, as you know. And 2024 is the first time we've played golf, and we've now played three times together. But you know, yeah, it's again, as you guys know, I'm very passionate about the game. I, you know, I hate to say it, but like many golf professionals, I don't have a lot of time. And when I do have free time, a lot of that is dedicated to trying to be at home and being involved with my family, as you guys know. So I would rather skip and neglect my game than, you know, have 18 years go by and my daughter be out the house and, you know, I miss something. So, I am working on it a little bit, and we played in a pro. I'm feeling a lot more confident than I have in probably 8 to 10 years. I know I'm not going to go out and win a section event. It was fun to play a pro because it was, at Forest Hills. We got to play the 18-hole course, their championship course, and their 9-hole valley course. If you don't know, it's an executive golf course, phenomenal for junior golfers, beginners, or just, hey, emergency nine. It's mainly par threes and a couple short par fours. But the format was basically the front nine of Forest Hills was best ball between the two players. Back nine was a scramble. And then Chapman alternate shot on the valley. And Andy and I started on hole seven at Forest Hills, long par five in wet conditions, as you guys know. We made a team birdie there. We've, you know, par the next couple. We go into scramble mode, hole 10. Andy nearly drives the green, and we walk away with par. We made a stupid bogey on 11. We rifle off three birdies, almost four birdies in a row. And then we, you know, kind of like, you know, we're looking at the leaderboard, tied three, tied fourth, pretty decent, you know. We made a couple hiccups, made some triple bogeys between alternate shot and best ball, kind of lost focus. But I have to give a shout out to one of my team members that, Roey, you probably remember pretty well, that started working for us just a few months ago. If you remember Jim Knazel from AL Gustin. It's funny how the golf world, everyone knows everybody sort of, but if you don't know, Jim Knazel played his golf at Mizzou, played professionally a little bit, became a PGA professional, ran Gustin down there for Mizzou for a number of years until just recently. Jim is back as an amateur these days, but Jim has known Joe the pro, my boss, for years, and Jim is now working part-time for us basically Tuesday through Friday and Mondays if we need him. But it's funny because Jim's dad, Ray, who's passed away, but years ago when I was a 16-year-old cart kid at Sunset Lakes, his dad, Ray, was actually willing to help out and give me lessons and work on my game, knowing that I didn't have any extra money for lessons. But so it's funny that just, you know, years later, Jim's working with us, known Joe forever. But Jim just a couple of months ago said, Kurt, you got to find golf swing, but you can't take the club away like you're trying to do 100 miles per hour in a Ferrari in 2 seconds. Because as you guys know, your body starts moving all over. And so I've had issues with that timing and being too quick. So he's got me to slow it down. We worked on it again today. I told him I was struggling with wedges from inside of 100 yards yesterday. We spent 30 minutes working on it today. So, yeah, I know we somewhat joked about it last year, Andy, Kurt, about playing more. But if I have an open Monday and it's a, if it's a format that I feel comfortable with, I just don't feel like I'm going to do anything special playing 18 holes of stroke play. But it was fun. Andy Crow and I had a great time, with the exception of just a couple stupid holes. We would have been right up there and, you know, toying around with a top five finish, which would have been great for us, make a few bucks. But yeah, it was great. But, you know, I just want to thank the section staff, Allie Wells, Michael Brown, Thomas, Doug, Jason, McKenzie, all of them over there. And then obviously, Jimmy Balls and, his crew, from Forest Hills for hosting us. And, you know, got some exercise too, cause it was cart path only for 27 holes. So, you know, but no, it was fun. I'm actually enjoying playing golf again, and it's not as embarrassing right now. So again, it's a little more enjoyable, as you guys know.
That's interesting about Jim. I didn't know Jim was an amateur. He got his amateur status back, huh?
Yep. Yeah. So, cool. Jim, like a lot of players, and you know how talented Jim was, cause Jim sniffed a couple of US Opens at one point.
Yeah.
You know, he made a couple of qualifiers. I think he had a chance at a PGA championship or two, you know, back in his PGA days as a club professional. So Jim was actually a hell of a player, but he got his amateur status back, but he went through a low point with his golf game a handful of years ago, and he fought hard for about 3 years working on it. And him himself, just in the past year or so, after like a 4-5 year window of what he would say was poor golf, and I think I would have taken Jim Knavel's poor golf at any time in my life. Yeah. He has it back, and yeah, so yeah, he's an amateur, and I don't know, maybe look on your radar, you may see something at some point. I don't know. He's talking about maybe a little bit of competition.
Yeah, so. Love to. That'd be awesome. Love to see.
Yeah, him. But yeah, it's fun, and it's kind of weird because I knew Jim when I was like 18, played a couple times with him because of the connection from Sunset Lakes and his dad. And so I knew some guys. So back in the day, I played with him a couple times. Don't even know if he remembers me from back in those days we've joked about. But now it's funny because he's always like, hey, boss, what do we got to do? Is there any merchandise I can sticker? I'm like, quit calling me boss. It just feels weird. You know, you got 20 more years in this industry than I do. But
no. Yeah, I haven't seen him yet out there yet. He hasn't been there. More after the club, so
yeah, you'll see him more weekdays, Kurt, and typically more like that 7-3 window. But and then you'll see him probably like things like the Butler or the Tradition weekends that we'll need him. But what an asset to our team. But also a little tidbit a couple months ago, and yeah, I'm looking to play some golf. So it's not as bad as it used to be.
Sweet,
yeah,
awesome stuff, man. Glad you got out to play and glad you had a good time doing it.
Yeah.
And, we're going to wrap up with a preview of the Old Warson Cup coming up this weekend. I'm going to guess that takes place at Belle Reve.
We'll talk about Belle Reve later in the year, but no. yeah, so the Old Warson Cup is our match play championship of the season. The field comes from our player of the year points list from the previous year. So 16 players. It is played at Old Warson Country Club. It's the home of the Old Warson Cup. But yeah, this is always kind of customarily been the kickoff event of the year. A lot of times it has been the very first event, but, we did get the US Open qualifier in our belt, yesterday, but, always exciting. Old Warson Cup is, you know, it's a great weekend, you know, especially if we got good weather, but you know, we really got the top 16 guys in the area. We did get down on our points list a little bit, down in the mid 20s. Just, we had, you know, a couple guys turn pro. We got, some couple college guys who, you know, can't make it back, this and that, you know, the way things work out, but we still got 16 good players. No doubt about that. Peter Weaver, our player of the year, who we had on the show last year, he'll be the number one seed. He'll kick everything off at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. He gets John Kelly at number 16. And then let's see, our number two seed is Justin Bryant. Justin, St. Louis Country Club, is his two seed this year. It's a great field. That's top 16 in the on the regular side. And then 3 years ago, we added the senior division to the Old Warson Cup. which is just four players. They'll play on Saturday afternoon. So we'll play the round of 16 matches, eight matches on Saturday morning, starting at 7 a.m. Just some other notables, you know, in there. We mentioned, I'm trying to think of anybody, these guys we've had on the show. I don't think so.
Justin Bryant was your U.S. Open qualifier last year, right?
He did. Yes, he did make it to U.S. local. Max Kreckmeyer, who's the defending champion, who just finished up his career at Missouri State. He's back in the field.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Yep. Drew Pranger. Friend of the show. Three-time Metropolitan Amateur champion. Just another. It's a solid field. It's all good golf. Anything can happen. It's match play, as you guys know. Anything can happen. But Saturday morning, round of 16. Saturday afternoon, we'll start with the senior semifinals. Paul Niemann, Buddy Allen, Brian Lovett, Brian Hall are the four seniors, and then we'll go into the quarterfinal matches on Saturday afternoon, and then come back on Sunday morning with the semis, and then Sunday afternoon we got the two final matches, the senior and awesome. And the final match. So, follow along. You know, there'll be hole by hole coverage, or if the weather's nice, you're welcome to come out visit Old Warson Country Club and. You know, see some really good golf. It's always exciting.
Sounds like I might try to pop out there sometime this week.
Absolutely, yeah.
Say hi to the guys and see my old buddy Kurt.
For sure. Yep. So, please do.
Awesome, guys. That wraps up segment one. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Madison Pyatt, the winner of the girls 7-9 division at the Drive, Chip, and Putt, and Caden Fair finished fourth overall in the 14-15 division at Drive, Chip, and Putt. Coming up next, right here on the CNC Golf Factory on the St. Louis Podcast Network. Back here, segment two, CNC Golf Factory, St. Louis Podcast Network. Andy Hanselman, Kurt, and Kurt alongside for another fantastic interview segment here in our second episode of season two. We have two fantastic young local junior golfers that both did recently very, very well at the Drive, Chip, and Putt. At the famed Augusta National Golf Club. First, he finished fourth overall in the boys' 14-15 division at DCP. He's also won the 13U and 15U Metropolitan Amateur Junior Championship. And he plays his home golf at the Country Club of St. Albans, where he knows Kurt Goff III very well. Also in eighth grade at Chaminade. We welcome Caden Fair to the show. Hi, Caden. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Good. We were also joined by Madison Pyatt and her dad, Travis. She won the girls' 7-9 division at DCP at the Augusta National Golf Club. Her home course is at the Legends in Eureka, and she is a fourth grader at Geggy Elementary. Hi, Madison. Hi, Travis.
Hi.
Hello there.
Welcome to the show, guys. We're so happy to have you. First, I mean, both of you, I just want you to comment on the overall experience that each of you had at Augusta National Golf Club.
Oh, it's as good as it sounds and looks. I mean, everything's perfect there. There's nothing wrong with it. It's perfection.
Madison?
Yeah, it was just perfect. Everybody says it's like carpet, but carpet has imperfections, and this place didn't.
So the one big question I want to ask both of you, you know, they have the huge merchandise building there that everybody gets to go into, but did they let the competitors of Drive, Chip, and Putt into the Augusta National Pro Shop where they have like the very, very special stuff?
I was hoping that I got all the, before I was asking my dad, like, are we going to get in? Cause I know you have like a little yellow circle around it, which is like special to the clubhouse.
Yes.
I thought we would. And then like, the night before, I asked one of the people, and they're like, no, we're in the regular spot.
Oh, brutal. That's brutal. I'm a big TikToker, and I follow Mrs. Finau. I can't think of her. I think it's Alana or Elena or something like that. And she showed her haul from the Augusta National Pro Shop, and it was quite impressive. So I was hoping you guys got to go in there and have your parents spend a few thousand dollars on you.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it over to Kurt and Kurt. Let them wrap this thing or take this thing home for us.
Hey, guys. Thank you for joining us. First and foremost, congrats on what an experience. Caden, you came through there in the middle of the segment with your chipping, fell a little bit short, but again, super proud of you. And, you know, I've known you for 10 years, so I've known you since you were a young lad. And I'm going to bounce back to you in a second, but I'm going to jump over to young Madison here. You know, Madison, you really put yourself on the golfing radar, on the map, with your win. That's really special. And, you know, before we kind of came on, I mentioned I have an 8-year-old daughter that I hope she gets the golf bug like you one day. But can you just share what the emotions and experience it was to, you know, jump into your dad's arms after winning? Just, you know, since I'm a girl dad, I'd love to know what that feeling was like for you.
Yeah. There was a screen that didn't show on TV, but it showed, it flipped over to the winners after, right before they announced it. So my dad pointed at it and I hugged him, and it was just a so exciting moment.
That, yes, very special. And, you know, you'll have those pictures, I'm sure, framed. They're probably maybe on that back wall behind you already, or will be, and you'll cherish those forever. Also, I was just looking at your stats, you know, for both you guys in your divisions. And did I see at 9 years old, you're out there hitting your driver at Augusta about 199 yards at most? Was that correct?
Yes.
As a 42-year-old golf professional that's losing distance, how can I find a little bit of speed and power like you got? Because you're going to be catching up to me in about 2 years.
I was going to say that you could probably already outdrive Kurt Goss.
She's 2 years away, I think. Where's that all speed and power? Where's that distance come from?
It's in the hip turn. You have to have a powerful hip turn, and that brings the club through.
Perfect. I got a couple juniors that I'm teaching tomorrow night. I'm going to tell them to start firing those hips through. We got to get them out there bombing it like you, because that was pretty fun.
I've got a friend that says you have to fire that left butt cheek. Got to get that left butt cheek around, and that's what creates all that power.
I'm going to bounce back to young Caden here. So, Caden, I wanted to bounce back to you because obviously our relationship at the Country Club of St. Albans for a number of years now. And I have to say, first and foremost, that you know, the entire club is very proud of you. We've seen what you've done for a number of years now, and we know that your game continues to grow. And I know you fell a little bit short at the drive shipment, but I know that's not holding you back, because you and Dad were out there with all your Master swag a couple days later, hitting balls, you know, and I was giving you a hard time about the usual things. Kind of like, first and foremost, I have to ask you, do you have your homework done tonight?
I'm actually studying for a test right after this.
Okay, well, we won't keep you too long. Next question. Behind you, I see a bunch of golf balls on the wall. Are those all your hole-in-ones?
No, I wish. So one is all the courses my dad's played. And so, like, we get a golf ball from, like, every cool course, I guess, we go to. And then the other one is all the ones I've been to. So we have a lot of similar ones and a couple different ones. I think I got them beat by a couple balls.
Okay. Question for both of you. Favorite golf course, both of you?
I'd say TBC Southland. Well, Masters, obviously, but besides that, TBC Southland.
Okay.
Pinehurst.
Pinehurst. You know, at 9 years old, when you got a double check, is it Pinehurst? Is it Augusta? I love it. I've been to Pinehurst as well, Madison. It's a pretty special place. Caden, so real quick, same thing. There's a fun picture with you and Dad at the drive chip and putt. And I know you were probably a little frustrated that you didn't, you know, get up there in that top spot. But how exciting was it to share that moment with Dad on that Sunday?
It was crazy. I was just, like, waiting to look. I was looking forward to, like, going back and rewatching the whole thing and seeing it. Like, I don't even, like, it's hard to even remember. It was just, like, a blur because I was so excited.
Okay. I'm going to ask you both one last question. I'm going to pass it over to my co-star, Mr. Rowey. But best piece of merchandise you guys or your parents purchased for you from Augusta a few weeks ago?
I'd say probably my mom's favorite would be the gnomes.
Oh, we know. We've talked about the gnome already.
She could.
Me too.
Kate, Madison's shaking head yes. Is the gnome the overall favorite?
Yes.
I'd say for me, though, just because gnomes aren't, like, crazy to me, I'd say I have a hat. I've probably already worn it, like, 7 times.
But what's that?
A hat. I got a hat that I like. It's, like, gray with the M. I've already worn it every day, so.
That's a good-looking hat. My friend got that hat. I had a friend that went down as well, and I asked him to get me a gnome because my wife loves gnomes. So I have to like gnomes. And he couldn't. He was late, like on Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon. And he goes, Andy, they were already sold out for the day of the gnomes. But I got a nice ball marker set out of the deal. So I'm
happy with that. My mom had to go there like 6:30 in the morning to get.
Oh yeah, no, it's crazy down there. The gnomes on the secondary market. I mean, you guys have a small fortune in your pocket there if you wanted to put those up on eBay for $500 a pop.
Yeah. Well, I talked to Kanan's mom a week or two ago, and she picked up too many, so she had to send Kanan's sister over in a separate line with a separate credit card to purchase one or two more gnomes. So the Fair family has gnomes in St. Louis if you're needing some. Kurt, over to you, sir.
Yeah, guys. Well, hey, I just want to say congrats again. You know, that was so exciting. I got up at morning and saw the DCP on the Golf Channel. First question is, how many times have you gone back and rewatched it? Now that you've been there, you saw it. Have you gone back and watched the coverage, or were you able to record it and see it back? And after you played,
I probably watched it over once or twice just by myself. And then they also had like a banquet. Kind of like a banquet fun time the last time we were there, where they showed it all over again. So probably 3 times in total.
Nice.
We watched it once because we were just answering so many text messages and we had so much planned.
Very cool. What was your you guys both mentioned earlier on, you know, just how perfect, you know, Augusta National is and that, but what was your did you have a picture of your first reaction as you now? I guess back up. Did you get to drive down Magnolia Lane? Is that how you got to go in there? And what was your reaction just right there, just driving down Magnolia Lane? You know, we see there's a famous video of Phil Mickelson a few years ago driving down, and it'd probably been 25 times he'd done it, but he was so excited. You know, he'd done it for all those years, but to do it that first time, I want to hear your reaction. You know, your excitement to driving down Magnolia Lane to pull into Augusta National. Madison?
We took about 100 pictures. Like, it was so beautiful. We just tried to look at every single
Sure. thing.
It looks great on picture, and it's 50 times better in real life. That's just like sure. just like the fairways. Like, every single tree is the same. It's, like, hanging right over your head. It's just perfect.
Had either of you been to Augusta National before this?
No.
My parents have been, but I've
never been. You hadn't.
I don't know how this happened, but I went back in 1993, and back then, you could actually buy tickets at the gate to go to a practice round. So we went to the Monday practice round.
Yeah.
And as we were leaving, my dad, he's like, "Hey, I'm up here up front." He's in the circle, like where the flagpole is, and where the Augusta or the United States, yeah. Where all the logos are. And to leave the tournament that day, we drove down Magnolia Lane.
No way.
He has no recollection of it. I am 1,000% sure that this happened. There's no pictures of it. There's nothing. We didn't have. I don't even have my the film or the camera from when we went on that trip. So, but I know for a fact that it happened because it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, I fell in love with the Masters and Augusta National at that point.
Absolutely. Let's go back. I want to ask you just a little bit about the competition. I mean, you're 9-14. Was there any nervousness at all about it? And you know, did you have some butterflies, you know, before you got started that morning? And you know, tell us a little bit about that. How were you feeling, you know, on Sunday morning when you got up and you know realized that you were actually gonna, you know, get out there and compete in the drive, chip, and putt? That's got to be a tremendous feeling. I mean, as an athlete myself. Well, I'm gonna say ex-athlete. We don't have to go there, but you know, who's competed in college and stuff. You know, I always had a little butterflies, but to compete on that stage and know that it was going to be on TV, you know, what were your emotions and feelings, you know, that morning when you got up and knew that you were headed to Augusta National to compete? Caden, go ahead. Let's hear it.
It was weird. So, like, I'd say as soon as I even made it to Augusta, like 6 months before, I was nervous for that entire 6 months. And even in the morning, I was even more nervous. And then as soon as, like, I stepped onto, like, the practice tee and, like, even on the real range, I don't know why, but it just, like, it all went away. I just felt, like, calm. I don't know. It was weird. I thought I was gonna be so nervous, but, like, I felt, like, calm and peaceful.
That's awesome. Madison?
I was a little nervous, but I practiced for 6 months, and I was ready.
Yeah. That's awesome. Matt, before we started, we were talking a little bit. Madison, you've talked about kind of your little, I'll call it a little whirlwind, you know, you've been on, you know, different TV channels and, you know, mentioned on Good Morning America. Just give our listeners a little bit, what's that like, especially as a 9-year-old? We haven't talked to too many guests who's probably had that kind of experience to go through the media, you know, as a national champion like that. So give us a little bit of what's that been like for you since that day?
Getting on screens and doing golf interviews just made me so excited about winning, and it's been so energizing and so fun.
That's awesome. Okay, I got one final question. Did you get to meet any of the guys that played in the Masters, or you know, any famous people that you met down there, and who was the best one that you maybe met? Madison?
I met Jon Rahm, and he signed my medal. He is my absolute favorite player.
He signed your medal that you won?
Yep.
Oh, that's very cool. That's awesome.
I'd say, like, I didn't really get to talk to many of the PGA players, but I did get to talk to Mike Tirico, and I got a picture with him. The night before, which was really cool. And then because I walked the course the next day, like after the direction putt, but my sister and my mom were over getting autographs. So they got a picture with, I think, Tony Finau and Scottie Scheffler. Okay. So she got to meet some players.
Very cool. Well, that's great, guys. That's awesome.
So just for people who don't know, like me, because I'm asking this question, do they actually do the drive, chip, and putt on the golf course, or is it over at the tournament practice area?
Madison? So the drive is at the player's range, and only three sets of people get to get on it. The drive, chip, and putt, the women's amateur, and the people who are playing in the Masters. And then on the chip, it was the practice area. And then the putt was on the 18th green. Right. And the 30-footer was the pin location. No, 15. The 15-footer was the pin location for one of the days.
Yeah, like the practice range, like before we actually were doing the actual thing, it was like, it's like secret on like little thing. It was weird. It was like in like 10 spots, and they had it all ready. It looked like it hadn't been hit on in like a year. So that was cool.
It probably hadn't, because that tournament practice area isn't open to anybody except for players during drive, chip, and putt, Augusta National, Amateur, and the Masters. So, yeah. I mean, that's crazy. Plus, I don't get that, because that thing costs like $140 million. If I was a member there, I'd be like, I want to use the damn tournament practice area. Well, guys, congratulations. It's quite an achievement to even get to go. I've volunteered some time to some local qualifiers here in St. Louis. And the great thing about drive, chip, and putt is that it's great. You know, it gets good golfers like you guys to go do something really, really cool like that. But I've seen it where it also brings out kids who may not have those kinds of, you know, things in their life. And they might learn to love golf and get a lifetime hobby out of it. So it's a really, really cool thing. I'm glad you guys did very well at it. It's a very neat thing.
Yeah. Guys, thank you. Again, it's a lot of fun. A lot of my students I teach at St. Albans are junior golfers. I think you junior golfers are the best, because I can be like a 7-year-old kid once in a while. I can have fun with you youngsters, and it's special to see what the game of golf is. Junior golf has expanded a lot more than when the three of us guys doing the show were junior golfers, when it was just, hey, go play 9 holes. I mean, the programs are better. You guys know it, and for you guys to be able to, and I hope you both get to make it back, not as spectators, but as participants, whether it's DCP, Madison, the women's amateur, maybe in a few years. Caden, of course, one day playing in the Masters, but I'm glad Augusta is growing the game. And so I hope you guys have a great summer season. So thank you, Madison. You are also set another record. You are the youngest guest on CNC Golf Factory by 5 years. Caden, you are now second place. Madison, thank you. And thank you to your dad, Travis, for helping out. And I have just one final question for young Caden Fair real quick, just because we have friendly banter. Caden, who is your favorite PGA professional at the Country Club of St. Albans?
Tough. Probably Kurt Goss. Good dude.
Yeah, good answer.
He's a good answer. Not a bad dude. He's a good dude.
If you said Joe the Pro, your dad was paying double for the next hat he buys. Guys, thank you so much. It's very special what you guys got to do. And thank you for sharing time on your school night with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. That's Caden Fair and Madison Pyatt. Back with more after this on the CNC Golf Factory on the St. Louis Podcast Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the CNC Golf Factory on the St. Louis Podcast Network. Thanks so much to Caden Fair and Madison Pyatt for joining us to talk about their experiences at the Augusta National Golf Club and Drive, Chip, and Putt. To get your kids involved in Drive, Chip, and Putt, go to drivechipandputt.com. Also, if you know of any other youth organizations that need to get involved, talk to your local PGA professional. They'll help get those kids involved in Drive, Chip, and Putt and local junior golf. Also, if you have some free time, hop on over to Old Wollaston Country Club to check out the Old Wollaston Cup competition. Check out the Metropolitan Amateur Golf Association Facebook page for all of the matchups happening this weekend in the Open Division and the Senior Division out at Old Wollaston. For Kurt Rowe, for Kurt Goss III, I'm Edie Hanselman. You've been listening to the CNC Golf Factory Podcast on the St. Louis Podcast Network. Content on the St. Louis Podcast Network is 100% human created.